just mention.
Come out from the shadows, it's your time. Cause tonight is the night for everyone to see.
It's natural.
You know that this is where you gotta be. It must be your destiny.
Sensational.
And you believe that
this is what you waited for. And it's you that they all adore. Baby, can you feel like number one? Shining bright.
Hey everybody, it's your Thursday, March 22nd, 2012 Jumpcast, the only manga podcast not owned by the Mythbusters. Joining me this week is Greg, I Love My New Luggage Jan, and Mike, Sonic's Dead Lemieux.
Gentlemen.
Yep. And congratulations again, Imran. We didn't mention it last week, so, you know, some people might not know, but you and our friend Ryan Bloom did a 18-hour play of Sonic 2006 for charity for Japan Tsunami Relief.
Yeah.
So. And you guys raised a grand, correct?
Just a little over a grand, yeah.
$1,010.01.
Which I actually threw into a binary translator, or a friend of mine did, and she told me that it was right parentheses.
Yeah.
So we raised dollar amount right parentheses.
Next year you guys should try for left parentheses. I'm sure that's way higher.
Just to put some closure on this.
Oh, that was painful.
But yeah, I'm sure we have a bunch of new listeners because our listenership rocketed up like 3 times this past week. So, to let you guys know what we're up to, this is a manga podcast that talks about this week's, as in, that's why the date at the start is very important, this week's zero-day jump manga.
The stuff that usually comes out yesterday.
Right. So, if you're not into spoilers, you're probably not going to want to listen to this. Because we talk about and analyze and predict, and often wrongly predict, what's going to happen.
And this is probably the last.
The series that we normally stick to are the big three. So One Piece, Bleach, and Naruto. And then also Beelzebub, Bakuman, and
rotating other stuff.
Yeah.
So if you have any recommendations of things you'd like us to talk about, we'll look into it. And speaking of which, I think we should talk about Stars?
Standards.
Yeah.
Standards.
We had been reading it. It's been 3 or 4 weeks since the last time we've gotten a translation. So I think at this point it's basically kind of assumed to be dropped until we find a translation somewhere.
This happened with Enigma when I was reading it, and that ended up getting canceled, but it just vanished for like 4 months, and then all of a sudden someone just dumped the rest of the chapters after it got canceled.
So. Bakuman was very nearly on that bubble because a bunch of translators were abandoning it for a while.
Well, that's just because it was hard, not because it was unpopular.
Well, I mean, if it were popular, then they would have still muddled through it. But a lot of them, like, some big names were just saying, we're not going to do Bakuman anymore.
Yeah, I would guess we're, like, 2 or 3 weeks out from Stars getting canceled, because it's been the bottom or the second to last slot for the last few weeks.
The last, like, half year. But
yeah.
Which is a shame, because there's not a whole lot of jump stuff that has that same tone.
Well, which is probably part of the reason why it's not being terribly successful.
There's probably a reason that they don't.
Yeah.
And it's probably this.
Do you think, like, jump readers are hostile towards genres they're not used to?
Not really. It's just that when you have such a direct feedback loop from the demographics that already purchase your magazine, then it's going to be self-reinforcing. It's always going to play to the rote tropes for the most part.
I think you also have to think about the average reader that's grabbing these things and reading them after school or something. They just kind of want action stuff. And then they read this thing about space travel that doesn't really have much going on and just kind of bores them.
I think opportunity, given the opportunity, it probably would do pretty well in volume sales. Like, not great. Certainly wouldn't be One Piece or Naruto or anything. But it would probably justify its own existence that way.
Yeah, I could see it finding its niche, but the problem is because it's gotten buried in the back of the magazine so quickly, it's not finding that.
I have to wonder how many jump readers don't even finish the magazine. Like, they get halfway through and read the good stuff and then toss it in the trash.
I seriously bet that's a significant proportion.
I have a couple of physical issues of Jump, and they're dense. Like, there's no way that a kid just coming back from school and doing his homework is going to finish all that stuff in a week. They'll stick to the few things they know. We zero in on the manga that we like and know.
And we're very hesitant to try new stuff.
Yeah.
One thing that I was thinking about is the past couple of weeks, there's been a number of one-shots. So if we can find translations of those might be an interesting thing to focus on.
I was looking for last week's, but I haven't been able to find it yet. And there's one next week, too, I think.
Yep.
So
I have no idea what any of the names mean, but they're out there.
Well, what was last week's called? Like Dor something? Dorkum Bowie? I don't know. I'm not going to try. But
Dorkon Buoro. Buoro.
Yeah. Yeah, that. About doors or something.
Actually, a manga about doors would be pretty interesting.
No, I think that it would be pretty boring to be just about doors.
What about if they were doors that fought?
That would be weird.
And went to high school. I don't know. So, stars.
Anyway.
Probably yeah, we'll
be talking about it too much more.
We'll mention it if we find a translation again, but until then, consider it taken out of our weekly rotation.
I could theoretically go find tech spoilers, but I'm not sure if I want to do that.
All right, so from stars, we move on to Beelzebub. And I don't know what's happening anymore.
She is hilarious. Just all around.
Which...
That's the younger sister of the new guy.
Yeah. I'm very confused because she looks like Beel's age.
She does. I'm getting increasingly creeped out, like you were last week, that she is like talking in complete sentences and.
I'm assuming she's supposed to be like. I'm assuming she's supposed to be like 3 or 4 or something like that. And it's just that you know it's the whole chibi-fied little kid thing.
I don't know, but he carries her around in a like baby caddy.
Point. True.
Maybe he's just overprotective.
Because Kanzaki's little niece?
Yeah. She seems like she's like 4 or 5.
Yeah, she's 3 or 4. So we have a base level here.
Yeah, but I mean they're the same size.
Is she? She's not really walking around on her own, or she looks younger. She looks about Totoka's age, or a little older than Beel.
She's actually smaller than he is when they're next to each other on the bed. So, most of this chapter takes place in Nene's room, and it's just a. Hilarity happening. I like the joke at the start about what she likes about Beel, and then Tojo shows up with the penis pun.
Yeah, yes. Very lowbrow, but somehow hilarious.
And the fact that it happens twice in a single chapter is just fantastic.
Did he just summon whenever somebody makes a penis pun?
Yeah, and he's just standing there with like a deadpan look, holding up the candy, which apparently sounds like the word penis.
It is the Penn Island joke of Japan. But yeah, he shows up there, and Oga shoos him away. And Oga apparently sees no problem with hanging out in Nene's room.
Oh, man. And then Furichi realizes he's missing out on something good. And it turns
yes.
out that he's in the bathroom.
He's having diarrhea.
Yeah, for the whole chapter.
I feel like this issue in particular is, pardon the pun, crapping on Furichi more than like any other.
Because
I feel like he can
just missing out.
Yeah, he can deal with being there and being insulted, but to just not even be participating is probably like the worst thing to do to him.
Yeah, the other good chunk of this chapter was around the horoscope signs and figuring out who was perfect for each other.
Right.
Everybody is Virgo.
Yes. I enjoyed this.
Including the teacher.
Yes. Otome and Satome.
And he was just sort of waiting outside the room to barge in and mention something. The brewing fight outside by the vending machines. I mean, I laughed a lot when one of the punks captured Kanzaki's little sister, our little cousin. And she's like, well, I've been kidnapped.
Yep, she could totally take him.
I was kind of expecting that she was just going to like drop kick him in the head and walk back over.
I think she knows that she's in basically no danger. Because everyone around her is incredibly strong, and now Tojo thinks she's a bunny.
That was great. He just said something cute is here. He wanted to trade
his
chocolates for her.
Yes, trade the chocolates for the child. And now, the one thing that I don't know if I completely understood was the second-to-last frame in the comic having to do with the girls in the bath. And the nearest thing that I can guess is that it's the one girl is discovering that she has a crush on the other.
No, they've seen Hilda's chest size.
Yes, they're all very flat compared to Hilda.
Oh, so that's the entire rationale behind that entire thing? Okay.
It's kind of funny because this seems to be a pretty standard Japanese joke. Like, a bunch of girls go into a hot spring together, and one of them discovers that another one is, like, huge. Because I can think of a number of anime and video games that have made that exact same joke.
Yeah, and Tales of Symphonia, you got a title for it.
Ironing board.
Yeah, whatever. but the thing is, like, you could tell Hilda had a huge chest with her clothes on. You didn't need to go into a bathhouse to realize
I guess
that.
Direct comparison probably made it clearer.
I also liked Furuichi just getting increasingly freaked out.
I kind of expected, like, Alan Dale to show up.
Also, I noticed his t-shirt says cock.
Does it?
Yes.
Yep, and it has a chicken on it, or a rooster.
Poor Furuichi.
So, basically, the plot development is Oga, Aiba, and Kuneida are all going on a date together.
It's not a date. It's a meeting to bring their schools closer together.
But I like that she couldn't work up the courage to turn Aiba down, so she just parlayed that into asking Oga to come along. That was the best she could do.
I like how this is a long turn in the people who are like Oga, but look more like actual Shonen Jump regular main characters, like Tojo did and Aiba does.
Aiba kind of looks like Yusuke from Yu Yu Hakusho. He's got the same haircut.
A little. Yusuke's was slicked back, wasn't it?
Was it? It's just got like the weird like puffed off to the side thing.
Also, yes, Furuichi's shirt totally says cock.
I told you.
It's a picture of a rooster.
Yes, and there is a picture of a rooster directly below it.
Nothing dirty about that.
Of course not. It's a very nice cock.
And people wonder why he's a pedophile.
So yeah, where do you think this is going? Is there going to be like a war that breaks out between the schools or something?
Whenever they go one way, like if they start leaning hard on shonen, they immediately like swing the pendulum back to gag manga.
So you think that this is still the blowback from that last major arc?
I think that they're going to hit back to shonen at some point, and it's going to become more fight-oriented.
I wonder if there's going to be... I mean, Beelzebub hasn't had a tournament saga yet, and everything has to have a tournament, so... I wonder if there's going to be like, some big school organization.
I'm guessing if there's going to be a tournament at some point, it's going to be in Hell.
Yeah. I can see that.
I don't know, like... I think a straight tournament would probably be a little too on the nose.
Tropey.
Yeah, this mangaka is very good at realizing what shonen tropes are and subverting them.
Which is amazing, because I think this is this guy's first manga. He was an assistant on Siren before this.
He may have just been like a really big fan.
Yeah, read everything, absorbed all the tropes.
So he's edgy?
Pretty much.
Yeah. Yeah, this is another one where if we try to predict what's going on with Beale, we're probably going to end up completely wrong.
I don't know. I'm going to put my chips down on some kind of war between the schools.
They don't have anyone talented, though, besides Aiba.
Well, I'm going to
take that one step further. There is going to be a war between the school, like a giant fight between the schools, and none of the normal like primary cast is going to be involved in the slightest. Like it's going to come back, and they're going to find out that there was this entire thing that went on just without them.
And Furuichi is involved.
I'm kind of wondering
he's going to be stuck on the toilet the entire trip.
I'm kind of wondering if Aiba's not stronger than Oga, if that's going to be like some kind of twist.
Like, do you think that we're meant to believe he's as strong, or?
I don't know. I'm eager to see them fight, because Aiba is still an enigma to me. Not sure.
I mean, the way this show kind of shows power is how many people they can get stuck into a wall and how far. Because, like, Oga's big thing at first was that he could stick people through a hallway, like, 5 or 6 at a time.
I love this manga.
It's that right amount of silliness to make it continually entertaining.
Just absurd at all times.
It is the anti-Bleach, because it makes progress without sacrificing any sort of entertainment. Before we move on to Bleach, I want to talk about Bakuman.
Yes, we have to go in order.
Yes.
So for new listeners, we go backwards from jump rankings. So we go from the bottom to the top.
So Bakuman is being really, really predictable. But, I mean...
It's on rails at this point. I mean, there's only one direction it can go. I would say that the only surprise for me this week was I was expecting more of an American Idol multi-round sort of thing versus just a single vote. So
is this it? Just everyone votes on this and...
That seemed to be the impression that I got, was that they were each going to do their, you know, X number of minutes, and then there will be the one vote, and that's that.
Well, I'm guessing it's going to be, before we go, issue summary is that the Azuki is doing the audition, and there's a bunch of other voice actresses there, and they're all competing, and the issue ended with Azuki going up to the mic. With no script, because she's remembered it all. Yeah. And I figure it's going to either end with it being a tie.
Yeah, that was my guess.
That's exactly where I was going to go to.
Or that, like, it's like an actual, you know, real-time countdown of the votes, and she'll end up by, like, one, which will be probably Mashiro's vote.
Damn Florida.
No, I thought the people involved weren't allowed to vote.
Are they? Did they actually say that?
I think that they said that, yeah.
Or edgies, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, or just something like that. But honestly, what I'm thinking is, because there's the one girl who was established to be a friend sort of thing, who is she was the one who noticed she didn't bring the script, right?
Mm-hmm.
Short-haired blonde lady.
Yeah. I would not be surprised if there was something along the lines of, like, the one steps down and asks people to throw their votes behind Azuki, and then it ends up being either a two- or three-way tie, and then they have to do a second round with only those two or three people.
Yeah, I could see that happening. Something like that.
Yeah.
I can't tell if the long-haired one has villainous intents.
She has villainous-looking eyes, but I'm not sure if that's just, like...
I'm not talking about the older one. I'm talking about the younger one, the lead voice actress.
She has, like, villainous eyes, too.
Yeah. They both do, and that's what's confusing.
Because they're rivals.
Well, they're designed to look evil, which is what's confusing me about this. Like, at one point, Eiji was designed to be evil, and yet he became the friend. Then Takagi's writer friend, who he turned down in middle school.
Right.
Who wrote Natural.
I don't necessarily know if they're intended to be evil so much as sly. Like... It's supposed to be I don't know, whether a parallel to, like, the intentions of why they're doing this thing. You know, the one is pure for her dream, and the other ones are all business. They want to do it for their personal fame, sort of thing.
Well, she established that she's, like, they shot across the bow her saying that her dream is to be in Ashiro Gomoto's manga, or their anime. Which is basically just stealing Azuki's backstory.
Yeah. That was kind of a low blow. Just trying to get the sympathy votes before Azuki goes up.
No, I don't know what they can do at this point. So it's either going to end up as a tie, and then there's going to be another audition.
Or she's just going to win.
Yeah.
Or there's going to be a tie, and then they find out that there was something dirty going on behind the scenes with the votes or something like that.
Or Azuki just straight up wins and the otaku freak out anyway.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if she's just going to win. And that's, you know, dust your hands, that's it.
Because they went through a lot saying that they did a lot of promotion for this. Yeah. So I wouldn't be surprised if there's, like, a casual sort of people who are separated from the drama of it giving their own votes and unbiased opinions.
Do you think we get, like, a montage of, like, older people, like, going, oh yeah, I should vote for her?
I wouldn't be surprised.
Like, non-otaku, and then people realize, like, oh, the otaku are actually a very small percentage of people that will watch this.
The thing is, we know what the result has to be. It has to be that she gets the voice actress part. But
what if she doesn't, though?
Then Bakuman is going on way too long. Like, that, if it would be a real jump-the-shark moment if that were the case.
One thing that bugged me in this chapter is, what year does this take place in now? Like 2016 or something like that?
I don't think it's that far. I think it's like 2013, 2014.
It's a few years in the future.
Yeah.
And they thought it was super weird to hook your computer up to your TV.
Yeah.
I thought that was very strange. That stuff that's common today seems weird to them.
Yeah, maybe that's a cultural thing. I mean, what's it called? Most people in Japan don't have PCs, right?
That's true.
And there, it's not like those three are particularly computer
Kaya's
savvy.
Not. Yeah, I guess Kaya wouldn't be. She probably plays Farmville.
And
about it.
Takagi writes all his stuff on notebooks, like physical paper notebooks. So then, for the most part, they don't even really use computers. I'm kind of curious how many mangaka do that for drawing these days. Like, do most of them do it by hand, or do they animate using our tablets and stuff?
Gantz uses computers. That's really all I know.
And it shows really,
yes.
really
and
badly.
It's, and that yeah, that's not a good thing.
It loses a lot of that hand-drawn quality feel.
Yeah. There's actually... I would imagine that, honestly, most of them probably do it by hand, because I would imagine if the majority of them had switched to computers or something like that, that would have been something that would have been shown previously in Bakuman.
Well, I think more do them, like, some do them by computers, because I've seen fallout sometimes of... they get called out on tracing Google image search images. You know, so they're just pulling them into Photoshop and, like, grayscaling them and putting them... So... it's probably some mix, like, just depending on your preferences.
Yeah, I'm just curious because they never showed anything like that in Bakuman, and it seems, I wouldn't say an archaic way of doing it, but I feel like it wouldn't be surprising if a bunch of mangaka started moving on to tablet stuff.
It would not surprise me if we're kind of in a transitionary period right now.
That should be the next arc. Everyone's moving on to tablets and Mashiro's stuck behind.
Yeah, and trying to figure out what the heck is going on.
Nanamine comes back and he says that everyone should use computers.
If they bring him back again, that... like, I've been scared of that the entire time. Like, when they showed, like, a voice acting company that had 30 voice actors, I kind of expected him to be behind it. That was such a...
He can synthesize a voice to be better than human
voice. The first time he was there, I kind of liked that arc. Like, it wasn't great, but the...
Well, the problem with the second time is that he, like, completed his character arc and, like, understood that what he did was wrong, and then he came back and just was still doing it.
Yeah, he was Cobra Commanding the Bakuman manga.
He learned his lesson. He just learned the completely wrong one.
Which was you need more people.
Yeah, next time I need to be way more evil.
And next time he's just going to come back with, like, a standing army.
He's just going to, like, kill other mangaka, because then there'll be spots open and jump.
It would be interesting if Bakuman took, like, not interesting in a entertaining way, and it would actually be horrible, but it took, like, a horrible left turn. Like, no, this isn't about manga, it's serial killing now.
Yes, yeah, here's the serial killer who's targeting mangaka. We have to figure out what's going on.
Oh no, Fukuda. No. Yeah. So is that about all... we think on Bakuman, is it something?
Yeah, pretty much.
Happen?
It was mostly just reactions to stuff. So we'll see what happens next week, because something logically has to happen if Azuki's going up now.
Theoretically, something eventually has to happen. that's true.
Speaking of which, Bleach.
Something finally
chapter.
Happened.
Lots of things happened. Three people died this chapter. It's amazing.
Holy crap.
There was the Arrancar the two Arrancars.
Yeah, Ivan and... Dude,
nameless guy.
No, he said his name right before he killed him.
The guy who looks like Ilkoria.
Don't see it.
He doesn't look like him.
Yeah.
No.
Would all Arrancar look the same to you, man?
Yes.
You think they all know each other?
Probably.
I think there's decent evidence of that with Nell showing up.
Oh, yes, Nell. Okay, rewinding a second. Little kid Shinigami gets called back to Soul Society because of the funeral for the vice captain of the First Division. And then
when the only reason that they actually called her back was to fill her in on the details so she could tell Ichigo.
Right.
Well, that's Ichigo's theory, yeah.
Yeah.
And then Ichigo gets bothered and goes out on patrol, and Nell shows up because something horrible has happened in Hoeko Mundo.
Which is, it has been taken over.
Yes,
which I guess we predicted that right last week, because we were suggesting that it was not last week, week before.
Yeah,
yeah,
I
it looked like Hoeko Mundo.
Yeah.
But Now, the weird thing was that the one shark lady was apparently still alive, and, you know, they never actually implied anything about this in the manga proper. This is apparently something which is canon, which was revealed in one of the, like, special character volume extra things which get released in Japan. And there's this entire thing about how, you know, Orihime healed her, and she ended up going back to Hoikomundo and basically started ruling it herself, sort of thing.
So,
which... apparently, we're just supposed to know about that.
Did they use that to explain how the Yami fight ended? Because we never saw the end of that.
They didn't. They find his dog, I think it was.
Yeah, Byakuya and Kenpachi were fighting him, and then it cuts away, and it never goes back to it.
It's not mentioned what happens on the page that I looked at. I will look in the Bleach wiki.
Yeah.
By the way, his name is Luders Fregan.
That's a pretty German name.
Yes. Unlike Ivan.
Sounds like a pastry. So him and Ivan get totally iced by this new boss guy.
Yeah.
And then he reveals that he can just make more Arrancars from Shark Lady. Who
somehow
has a... Yeah. What was her name again?
You're the one who usually comes up with these.
Yeah, but I don't care about the Arrancar. the number three lady.
She is
was it
McGee.
Hellebell or something like that?
Hellebell.
That's what it was.
Yeah.
Her design has been retconned to match the anime, it looks like.
Yeah.
For her boob coverage.
Yes, the no longer has the enormous underboob.
So what this says to me is that this guy is making synthetic Arrancar from her, which means that these guys aren't really Quincy's. I guess.
Or they're Quincy's that are dicks.
Yeah, but he acts like they're a dime a dozen, and they can't all be Quincy's if he's just synthetically creating them.
He might be making some sort of weird Quincy Arrancar hybrid.
That's what I'm thinking, is that he's a Quincy and just creating Arrancars with Quincy powers.
But they don't seem to be that exceptionally strong.
Yeah.
Like, that guy kind of barely held Ichigo off. And that was mainly to distract him instead of actually trying to beat him. But the other ones managed to straight up kill a vice captain. Or was he a captain of the first division?
No, he was lieutenant.
He was lieutenant, okay. And threaten Genryusai.
I enjoyed that when they... 11th? No, 12th division? Which division is it that is the science one? Is that 10th?
12th. 12th, I'm pretty 12th? Sure.
Oh, right, it's 13th. The 12th division is... they can't figure out how the body got from the battle to the captain's chambers, even though it came flying in, impaled from a giant sword.
I'm still...
I don't think that they weren't sure how it came into the captain's chambers so much as they didn't know how they got through the barriers around Sarite.
Oh, okay. Oh, that makes sense, because they were outside of the actual Soul Society, weren't they?
Yeah. And linking you to... this isn't the actual page, though, I don't think. Anyway, here is a link which, hypothetically, we actually see Yami die in the actual manga. It shows the aftermath.
Oh, okay. I must have forgot this.
Yeah.
I still don't understand the concept of death within Soul Society.
You don't get how souls die and age and...
Yeah. Eat. And have funerals and stuff.
Well, originally it was supposed to be that they would get recycled back into the real world was how it was painted, like, way early on in, like, the first 20 chapters or whatever it is, but that seems to have been left by the wayside.
The thing that always confuses me is, like, Rukia's a baby until she gets into her 20s, and then she stays like that for hundreds of years. Like, they age when it's story convenient, and then they completely stop.
And there's your explanation. It was story convenient.
But they're souls of people who were alive at one point, correct?
But then they're, like, born in Soul Society and have soul parents and...
Well, no, they get found. It's just that nobody has any memory when they transfer over.
But then they die and then go somewhere else?
Back to the real world, hypothetically.
Then what's the point of the funeral? And... Hmm?
That there isn't one. To make it seem sad that somebody finally actually died in Bleach.
It's the guy whose name no one can remember.
Yep.
It's that guy that looks like Vincent Price.
In Bleach, oddly, that doesn't narrow much down.
I almost said Vincent Van Gogh.
But yeah, so they're still talking about the 5 days thing.
Yeah, 5 days.
I'm guessing
very specific.
Within the next couple of days, they're going to request Ichigo's help. There's been nothing but foreshadowing for the last, let's say, 5 chapters.
Well, I think because he's trying to.
I think he's trying to build up and set the stage.
Yeah, if this wasn't intended to be the last arc, he might be trying to build it up bigger than he was originally planning.
But there's no stakes yet.
It's just Soul Society is going to be destroyed in 5 days. Those are the stakes.
But yeah, by what and how?
They're just going to do it, man. They're going to sword everyone. I don't know. You saw this guy. He can blow off people's heads with the flick of a wrist. He's got to be strong.
Very carefully.
I'm guessing somebody high rankings, Bankai, will get swallowed up. And for some reason, Ichigo's is mostly immune. So they're going to have to ask him for help.
Yeah, what do you think? This guy gets Yamamoto's powers or something?
Oh, do you think he's going to actually absorb their Bankais?
Isn't that what happens?
They devour them or whatever it is, which makes them disappear. Does he actually get their abilities?
I keep forgetting to tell you guys, but that melt thing was actually used before in the manga.
Was it?
Ishida uses it against his dad when they're training in the hospital to stop his Quincy powers.
How long ago was that?
Let's see, that happened before Hueco Mundo, I think.
Dang. So that's
it was definitely before Hueco-Mundo. I'm trying to remember the melt power.
Yeah. It was during that phase where it was setting it up like Ishida was going to be evil, and then he was just totally cool. His dad was training him to kill Soul Reapers, and then he does not do that in any way, shape, or form.
Just because.
Yeah. Hopefully something happens soon.
I like where it's going.
It seems more interesting than it has in a long time.
It's this turned chapter in the right compass direction at this point. It just needs to start moving.
I'm way on board with this arc now. I'm really enjoying where it's going.
So speaking,
I wouldn't say I'm necessarily way on board, but I'm definitely intrigued once more.
So speaking of being on board, One Piece.
Terrible.
Exactly.
Terrible pun.
So Hannibal is in charge of the prison now.
Yes, which is making me wonder what happened to Magellan, and part of me is hoping that he is now the third admiral.
That would be kind of crazy. This big giant devil guy.
Yeah. Or wait, do we know, because there's two admirals who have to get replaced, right?
Yeah, what's his name? The samurai dude that was the Vegapunk's guardian, he's an admiral now, I think. He had the coat.
Presumably, that's
a vice admiral coat.
Oh.
Yeah.
Someone had to replace Garp.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was a vice admiral. But anyway, I'm hoping that Magellan is one of the admirals, because that would be a worthy replacement. Now, the problem is that would be a promotion for overseeing the, worst incident that Impeldown ever has.
I keep telling you guys there has to be a rematch between him and Luffy, because it wasn't a victory.
If Luffy doesn't fight him, who else in the Straw Hats does? Do you think it's Franky, who's metal and wouldn't be affected by poison, or Brook?
I would say Chopper.
Oh, Chopper would be good, yeah. Curing it in real time or something.
Yeah. But there,
gets his revenge against the poison that...
There's just no way that they're just going to leave it like that. Because for one, he was a decent character design with an interesting power.
Yeah.
I don't think they'd waste it.
Also a good running joke, too.
Yeah. It just seems like this is something they're going to have to revisit at some point.
Yeah. And so, let's see. Luffy and crew run into a bunch of centaurs, who the boss centaur is totally Brownbeard. I don't know if you guys noticed that.
Is he?
Yeah. You remember that one thing right after the whole Whitebeard War ended where Brownbeard came in and was attacking one of the islands? It's totally him.
Except now he's got alligator parts.
Yeah.
Okay,
so
it's totally Law that's doing
yeah,
this.
That, yeah, that would be the assumption at this point.
Though he has a surprisingly low bounty.
80,000?
80 million.
Whatever.
But it's sub Straw Hat.
Yeah, you think now that they're in the red line, it'd be like 100 million minimum.
Oh, do we want to talk about the bounty posters first?
Sure.
Yeah, so there was a museum exhibit that's opened up in, I'm not sure which city it is in Japan. But in there's a bounty room where a whole bunch of people's bounties that we didn't actually know previously have been revealed. Two of which are particularly interesting. First off, we have found out what Ace's bounty used to be, which is 550 million and is the highest that we've seen explicitly written out.
Wow, I hadn't seen that.
Yeah. And then the second is that Buggy's bounty has been revoked. So either he is officially now a Shishibukai or he is dead.
No, they had deceased written on posters of people that were dead. His said case closed, which all the other Shichibukai said.
Okay, so he's a Shishibukai then.
Yeah. The other thing to come out of that is that Mr. Two, his poster, said captured and not deceased.
Oh, nice. I hadn't heard that.
He's actually still alive.
I hope they bring him back, because he had a very good redemptive arc.
Oh, he is awesome. He, however, is never going to join the crew
because
he has the same voice actor as Frankie.
Yeah.
But what if he comes back as a woman?
He still has the same voice, even when he's... Or, well, no, wait. That's right. The voice changes. It's possible.
It'd be possible and horrifying.
I feel like he needs to see Luffy again.
Yeah.
Like, there's so much of that arc that I just felt like... After Impel Down, that part was just cut straight off.
He had a very emotional exit from the story.
Yeah.
Of holding off Magellan while everyone else escaped.
And it was perfect. I mean, it was fantastic.
Yeah,
it's
very
just,
well.
You know, it's like
the heartstrings.
If Usopp just suddenly went off like that, I would be somewhat frustrated because he finally, you know, you can't just leave a character like that. And Mr. Two finally got to that level of character love, I suppose.
Remember though, Mr. Two's thing is kind of holding off someone for the Straw Hats and then vanishing for hundreds of chapters.
Yeah. He'll show up again in the grand finale where everybody shows up again.
He's just been at the end of the grand line forever.
Yeah.
Yeah, so if he's still in Impel Down, you think he's running the Okama Heaven? The floor 5 place?
Yeah, because...
That could be a place if he could escape again. He takes over that thing and starts it up again. Although he can't turn people into the Okamas the way that...
Right, but being an Okama is in your heart.
Unless he gains that power.
Nah.
Nah, that was a fruit power.
But, I mean, we still don't know. Like, I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, but I looked it up, and I don't think they've actually laid down consistent rules about the fruits.
I think there's just one of everything, and Oda has answered.
Yeah, no, they have explicitly stated in the series that there's only one of every fruit, because Sanji was so angry about the invisibility fruit.
Yeah, and Oda has said when someone dies, the fruit reappears somewhere else in the world.
Yeah. But yeah, so I guess we can say definitively at this point, Buggy is probably Shichibukai.
Yes.
Yes.
There was something else interesting about those, but I can't remember what it was.
Yeah. We got some English names for a lot of characters, like...
Yeah, like the English spelling.
Weird spellings. But nothing that springs to mind.
Yeah, I'll have to find some pictures of all those things, because I'd be curious...
One disappointing thing is that Whitebeard's poster, his bounty is torn off, so the poster is ripped at the bottom, so you can't see what his bounty was.
Nice.
I assume it would have to be higher than Ace's.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Same with Gold Roger. You can't see his bounty either.
Was Shanks
listed?
I'm going to guess
that the two of them are, like, going to be 900 million and a billion or something like that.
Considering, like, Ace's is the biggest news out of that, I don't think we saw Shanks's.
Yeah. Oh, well.
So, anyway, this chapter.
Yeah, back to this chapter. It was... One thing that leaped out at me is it's amazingly well drawn. Like, one issue I have with Oda's art occasionally is that he will make everything look too busy and it's hard to interpret. But even everyone thrashing around in the water looked really easy to tell everyone apart and it looked nice.
Yeah. So Boss, who is apparently Brownbeard, sinks their banana boat. So Usopp and Zoro have to rescue Luffy and Robin. And then Zoro gets eaten by a shark.
Yes, and then Brooke has a moment of badass.
Where he freezes all the guns right before they're about to fire.
The best line, my name is of little importance. It's Brooke.
Did he always have an ice sword, or is that
not? He has a magic sword, that's his thing.
Yeah, he has the sword inside of his cane, and then he uses, like, he is the bard. Ice. He can, you know, he is the bard of the crew, where he can cast magic spells by doing music.
That's how they differentiate him from Zoro.
Yeah, I guess I haven't seen him fight in so long that...
He used an elemental sword against Duval, I think. I think that was the last time we saw him use it.
Well, no, he did the ice sword against the guy at Fishman Island.
Oh, really? Okay.
It wasn't specifically meant, like, pointed out, though, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, this is... It was story important this time that everything was iced.
But yeah, so Brownbeard realizes it's Straw Hat Luffy.
That's really interesting to me that's Brownbeard. I really didn't know that, so...
Yeah, no, I mean, the beard is identical.
Yeah, it's definitely him.
Yeah. Picture.
So, I guess that the fact that, like, some of his crew are wearing striped shirts, I wonder if these are criminals that have been...
Well, it's kind of like if you remember the guys frozen in the block of ice in the barrier that the kids were running through. The guys frozen in the ice all had prisoners' outfits on. So
we're in agreement, right, that Law is doing this? They're not actually centaurs?
Yeah, that would be my guess at this point, yes.
But why?
He doesn't seem to want anyone to know. So maybe he's building an army.
Yeah, I've got nothing over what his motives are at this point.
Anyway, following them getting out of the lake, my favorite moment of the chapter was them realizing that Brownbeard's army was wearing warm clothes, and you get all these very evil shading of all the straw hats.
Determined to steal their clothes.
Yes. And then it cuts to Law and Smoker's fight.
Yeah, which is actually pretty interesting, but it doesn't seem like Smoker really has any sort of chance.
Well, I mean, it's not like he can necessarily be affected by Law's power, and the thing is, we haven't seen his sword be able to do anything other than... he hasn't been able to hurt anybody. He's just been able to cut them into pieces. Not actually cause damage to them.
Well, he didn't kick or cut anyone story important until, what's her name? Toshigi ran at him.
Yeah.
And the other thing we saw Law do during this chapter was switch the bodies of the Straw Hats somehow.
Yes.
He switched their personalities by, I guess, switching their hearts?
No, he switched their bodies because Nami, who is now Sanji, wonders where his cigarette went.
Yeah, so, no, it's definitely a body switch thing.
And Sanji being in Nami's body is going to be amazing.
Yes.
So Sanji is in Nami's body. Chopper is in Sanji's. Nami is in Frankie, and Frankie's in Chopper.
And I'm assuming that they're going to have to end up fighting in the other person's body.
Yeah.
I wonder why he did that as they left. Why he could have easily stopped them.
I don't know, maybe he just felt like being a dick or something.
That does kind of describe Law. I'm disappointed we have not seen Law's crew.
Yeah, that's weird. I like Beppo.
Yes, something to think about. Beppo was not originally a bear. I think that we can kind of assume that now that we've seen the entire switching the person's body into another.
It was probably like a dude with a bear head.
It was a guy who was put into the body of a bear.
Oh yeah. So, you know, now that I think about it, remember how eager Law was to have that giant from the slave house join his crew? When they freed them from the auction.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wonder if there was some intention behind using that guy, not necessarily as a crew, you know, crew member, but as some kind of experiment.
It's entirely possible.
He could be trying to put his crew or people into giant bodies.
Hmm.
Because I mean, my main theory thing right now is I'm going to say 99% sure Law is trying to raise an army. And I'm going to guess it's against the world government.
Yeah. I mean, with the position of a Shichibukai, he's, you know, relatively left alone to his own devices. So that would explain why he wanted the position so bad.
And why he doesn't want anyone to go back with its information. Because if he was just doing his own thing, I'm not sure they would care. Like, they really didn't give a damn about Moria. And what he was doing was basically the same.
turned a blind eye to horrible, horrible things.
Yeah.
As long as he's hurting pirates.
But if they find out that, like, he's doing this to take against the world government, they'll have to take action against him.
So what particular motivation do you think Law has? Just that under Akainu, they've become so ruthless that someone needs to stop him?
I don't think he needs a motivation. He's always kind of been...
Well,
rebel
pirate. He wants to become the pirate king. There's his motivation.
Law's always seemed like mostly a good guy to me, you know, as far as pirates go. So I'm just wondering what his angle is here.
He seemed like a peace main to you.
Yeah.
I don't think we know enough about Law either way to say that.
Yeah, I'm seriously not even going to make any guesses whatsoever. The only thing that I can say for certain is that he's from North Blue and is not part of Doflamingo's stuff. Because he has the smiley face, but without the cross through it.
So, like, as far as the factions go, we know that basically it's Smoker and his crew, Law and his experiments, and the Straw Hats.
We still don't know for certain what's up with the smoke thing.
But they're likely related, since he obviously did the centaurs.
Yeah.
My question is, what is Law doing with the children? Because they were in the back of his house.
Yeah. So, I don't know.
I guess we'll have to wait, because I don't think any of us can even fathom. I mean, I hate to say that, but I really can't think of anything.
It's been a long time since I've been so thoroughly stumped about where this series is going, so.
I do think it's interesting that, they've established Tashigi has some level of haki.
Does she?
And that the entire that there are, you know, people can have stronger and weaker haki, and that makes a difference.
Yeah, well, I mean, they showed that when Luffy fought Boa's sisters, because then he had the emperor level haki.
Well, no, but those are different types. It's kind of like how there's the Paramecia and the Logia and the, I don't remember what the other term is.
See, I always interpreted it as like Super Saiyan 3. As opposed to one. It's just clearly stronger.
Nah, I took it as how there's the three different types of devil fruits. It's kind of the same thing where you have the different flavors of the different haki, and they can be taught, but this is the first time that we're actually specifically seeing it's possible to have stronger and weaker ones. And I would assume it's the armament is the one, because if she could have protected her sword better, because if you see the sword was cut through, then her body wouldn't have been cut through by his sword.
Yes, that's where the chapter ends, though, is with her getting cut in half, so.
I wonder if now she's going to get... Because it was a very clean cut right around the waist. So, I'm guessing centaur? That would not surprise me.
It's just a force of habit. He's been making them so much, that's just kind of where he naturally cut her.
But yeah, no real guesses about this besides... Possibly army.
Not gonna try. I don't think he's doing an army, but I could see it. I think there's some noble goal behind what he's trying to do.
I think that I would like there to be some noble goal, but I'm not actually going to put my money on that.
One possible theory, if we're going nobility, is the kids actually are sick, and he's trying to figure out a way to cure them. But I'm not sure how, like, attaching people to crocodiles does that.
Yeah.
I mean...
Or switching people's bodies with the Straw Hats. And
well, there's also the Harpy Lady. I mean, he's clearly doing something with Elbaf. Like, he's creating mythological people for some reason.
Meh. Law.
Law gonna do what Law gonna do.
Alright, so... I guess since we're not guessing on this stuff, let's just move on to Naruto. And I know, Greg, you said you had some... Very specific thoughts.
Basically, the entire thing is, you know, the fight's going well, but I just... It's bugging me this entire time with how it's Kabuto that is the big bad for this portion. And all I was thinking was, it just occurred to me how it would be really easy to either retcon, although there would have to be, like, one or two scenes that were blatantly obviously never happened that would be shown in flashback, or it would have been really easy to maneuver things so that it would make perfect sense and have this be Orochimaru, which would have been a more poignant fight for Itachi and Sasuke to fight. So I was just basically going to go through the logic of how it could have been that. So if you want to discuss the actual chapter first, that would probably get it out of the way.
All right, so this chapter was entirely the Itachi-Sasuke Kabuto fight.
And basically,
I mean, long story short, they know a lot about snakes, but apparently we've discovered that every spirit animal or whatever has its own sage mode.
I don't necessarily know if it's going to be every spirit animal, because there was the entire thing that the three people from Konoha, so Orochimaru, Tsunade, and why am I not remembering his name?
Jiraiya,
yes. They were the legendary seinen, which is, or sanin or whatever, which is roughly translated as sage. So I think you can perhaps think that the three of them have sage mode, but not necessarily, you know, the dogs and the cats and the turtles and those things that we've seen.
Actually, sanin just means three ninjas.
Does it?
Yep.
Yeah, san is three, nin is ninja.
Okay, but because with the translations that they were bringing to the English one, they had been calling them the three legendary, you know, it was why Ero Seinin was translated as Pervy Sage for the official translation and whatnot. So
I think it just flowed better.
Okay, but yeah, then my mistake, I do not know Japanese, so.
But it was just, I guess the other big reveal is Karen, it's an Uzumaki.
Yeah, that was weird.
Everybody with red hair is in the same family, obviously.
Yes, Kabuto actually says that everybody with red hair is an Uzumaki.
And wait, does it imply Pain is an Uzumaki, or I misreading that? Huh.
No, knew that he was related to Naruto somehow.
I don't think I ever picked up on that, or just didn't notice.
Yeah, I think he mentions it at some point.
So do you think that the sage thing and the scroll is related, are related to one another, the thing that Suigetu or whoever he is had found?
Oh, you mean the
water dude?
Well, that was Orochimaru's study, and Kabuto explicitly says Orochimaru did not discover how to become a sage.
Yeah. So basically the chapter is Kabuto being a horrible snake monster and then revealing himself to have a sage mode and proclaiming that he is now a dragon. Right?
Yes.
And the snake sage just chilling there looking awesome.
Oh man, that snake sage was such a, like,
he's got,
so
like,
awesome.
His pimp necklace, which is the best part.
He's just kind of, like, relaxed, reclining there with a pipe.
Yep.
So, I think one thing this confirms is that if Orochimaru never hit sage mode, and we can probably assume that Tsunade never did, then that essentially says Jiraiya was the strongest of the three.
Yeah.
Like, without a doubt at this point. So if it ever came down to a fair, even fight between the three of them, Jiraiya would have won.
I think that that's a reasonable assumption. Now the question is, do you think that Kabuto has the proper sage thing? Like, you remember how Naruto?
He
had just the eyes, whereas Jiraiya had that, like, mixed up frog looking face.
Well, they all had to kind of cheat a little bit, because Jiraiya had to use the frog.
Well, no, he used the frog elders so that they would be sitting still and regenerating the sage chakra or whatever it is.
Well, Naruto had to use Kagebushin plus his natural amount of gigantic chakra.
Considering that Kabuto is like a horrible monster with horns now, I would say that he's probably doing the right thing, since he's physically changed into like a giant monster.
Right. I'm just curious.
Well,
like,
no, but remember, that was the imperfect thing, was when there was the physical deformation.
Oh.
Naruto's only having the eyes change was the correct way that it's supposed to be.
What
Naruto
I'm thinking,
was better at it than Jiraiya was.
What I'm thinking is happening is that Kabuto discovered a way to do it without, like, training, necessarily.
That does seem to be a Kabuto way, like he found a drug to induce it or something.
Because this is the only way Sasuke's going to keep up with Sage or Kyuubi Naruto. Is if he also learns how to do snake. But you know what's going to happen now, right?
No. Why did you say that?
Because once Naruto went sage mode and Sasuke stayed normal, it was kind of logical that maybe he could just keep up and, like, sage mode was just Naruto hitting the peaks of Sasuke. But now that he's hit Kyuubi mode, Sasuke has to keep up for the eventual fight.
So is he going
to? No, he doesn't. He's just going to use his eye hacks and then make all of the QB's chakra go away.
But that won't work anymore, because like the barrier between him and the QB has mostly disappeared.
Yeah, but remember, he like Sasuke went inside of him and then made the QB's chakra like disappear.
But that's because he was still behind that cage, wasn't it?
No, I think
it's that, that it's been established that Uchihas can control the Nine Tails chakra for whatever reason.
Regardless, I still think that the document and this means Sasuke is going to get Snake Sage mode.
So if he does, do we just keep calling him Dr. Snakes?
That's
forever?
A weird thing to keep bringing up. I thought it was just like a cute Itachi joke, but everyone kept repeating it.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that it was a better pun or something like that in Japanese.
I did like that they both had Susano.
And they look different.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's been established that they look different.
Mm.
Because it's based on their own natural chakra.
Yeah, something like that.
I mean, it means that Kabuto still has to wear the... Like, the glasses kind of take away from the
intimidation
of the dragon, yes.
I thought he ditched the glasses a while ago, too.
Nah, last frame.
No, but, like, did he put them back on?
Yeah, because he went inside that snake, so...
Also, I don't see... Like, his whole logic at the start of the fight was, if they look me in the eyes, then genjutsu. But then he just sort of stops that once he goes in the sage mode.
He's too fast for them now.
Yes, he's wily like a snake.
So, predictions on how this fight's going to go?
I wouldn't be surprised if Kabuto just gets totally owned. Like, if his cockiness is his undoing and Itachi's just going to smack him aside.
I'm guessing Itachi sacrifices himself for Sasuke.
To save Sasuke, yeah. Well, you know, I don't necessarily know if it can be a total sacrifice, given that he technically can't be killed at the moment.
Well, we know at this point that there's pretty much no way Itachi is going to answer Sasuke's questions. Because it would just be too big an info dump. And it would make him too sane, I guess.
Eh. I could see a flashback, you know, of a month or two.
I'm ready for Sasuke to come back to the good side.
He's got to fight Naruto. There's no other way it's going to happen. Naruto is not a manga that shies away from shonen tropes.
I could see him coming back to the good side, but then they fight to see who... Well, no, nobody else would support him to become the Hokage, so never mind.
No, I could see just for Sasuke's own... You know,
satisfaction?
Yeah, he just wants to prove that he's stronger. Like some end.
But they've done
series.
That fight before. Remember the cop at the hospital?
Reals. This time it's for reals.
But the whole point was that then it was for real and Sasuke had a killing intent.
Yeah, but this time there's bigger explosions.
And that showed that he was evil. I think Itachi's going to quote-unquote die, and Sasuke is not going to get his questions answered, and he's going to go confront Naruto with sage hacks. And then we'll switch back to the Naruto-Tobi fight, or Obito, or whatever.
Masked Man.
Yeah.
It sounds reasonable.
Though granted, if you asked me a week ago if Kabuto was going to go sage mode, I'd say no, because that's stupid.
Yeah, no, I definitely did not predict that in the
slightest. Yeah, I gotta say, I really like his design, too, with the horns and the... I also like that his like eye coloring goes down his back for some reason.
Well, that's because... Well, it doesn't really go down his back for snakes, but snakes have the long tails on their eyes.
Yeah, so I guess that's what it's supposed to be like. If his, you know, minus the arms, it would look pretty snaky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm curious what jutsu...
Yeah, he's making a horse seal or whatever that is.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's going to be breathing fire, just because...
Yeah, if he's a dragon.
But that's an Uchiha technique.
Exactly.
Oh, then he's going to go Sage... Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to guess the Sage mode for Sasuke is pretty basically confirmed.
You guys have really depressed me about this chapter.
But anyway, so if I might go off on my little tangent.
Go for it.
Humor me for a second and think back to the original time skip. So we have so it's been established Orochimaru has to wait 3 years before he can take over Sasuke's body. Sasuke agreed to, you know, train with him as long as he gets revenge on his brother, yada, yada, yada. Time passes. So we're now just post-time skip. And then the entire fight with Sasori and
Sakura and Chiyo.
Yeah, like that entire fight happens, and it's revealed that the other ring is found by Toby, and that's the first time that we're seeing Toby, and that they're having to go find the rings, and it's established now. Okay, these rings are important. Did we ever find out what those were for, by the way?
Oh, they just totally kind of forgot about them.
Yeah. Okay. And anyway, we're gonna continue using that MacGuffin for my tangent. So that was our introduction to Toby, and it was established that they wanted to try and find Orochimaru because when he ran off after losing to Itachi, he took his ring with him. So,
I totally forgot about those rings until you just
mentioned it. So now I just lost my train of thought. Damn it.
Sorry.
Yeah, no worries. So anyway, I think that what would have been an interesting thing to do from here is, okay, so we've established that Orochimaru wants to take over Sasuke's body. Sasuke wants to kill his brother, but isn't going to run off to do so with Orochimaru breathing down his back. So Orochimaru knows that there is probably going to be that confrontation coming up. And then Toby, now having established these rings are important, and at this time we don't know that he's important, but obviously down the line he becomes Madara or whatever, ends up tracking him down and confronting him, like in private. And basically they have an exchange of information where Orochimaru agrees to help with whatever the plan is that involves the rings. And Toby tells him about how Itachi is losing his eyesight because of the use of the special tier 2 abilities. And that the only way to get the Eternal Ones is to take the brother's eyes. Now, the thing is, if this would go contrary to what Orochimaru wants the eyes for, because if he loses his sight, then he won't be able to learn every color of the rainbow or whatever the hell that thing was. And so Orochimaru is now in a position where he can't take over Sasuke until Sasuke has killed Itachi and taken his eyes, because if Orochimaru did it, he wouldn't be the brother anymore doing it for, you know, mystical hack reasons, whatever. So he has to make Sasuke think that he died. So hence the, you know, same conflict that we saw where Sasuke beats Orochimaru ridiculously easily for no apparent reason. And it turns out that was just a clone hand wave something. And Orochimaru took over Kabuto's body as a second in command and is allowing Sasuke to go freelance, basically, to go and confront his brother so that he could take him over at a later point. And then the rest of the series progresses identically to how it does now, except instead of it being Kabuto facing these guys with no actual emotional depth, impact, etc., it's Orochimaru in Kabuto's body with all of these, you know, you could have a throwaway thing where, and now it looks like it's time for me to take, you know, my experimentation payoff, etc., where he has the different abilities that were described in this chapter from his experimentations that he put into himself. It just seems like it would be much more impactful if it was, you know, the Akatsuki Orochimaru at full power fighting against the brothers who he has both fought in the past versus this lackey who is inexplicably ridiculously more powerful than his boss.
I wonder if Kishimoto just doesn't like Orochimaru. Because some of the stuff, like, I still don't understand what the hell happened during that Itachi fight where he just appeared out of Sasuke.
Yeah, that was...
Well, there was something along the line. Like, I think that the explanation was that he was inside of the curse seal and wasn't actually completely destroyed by Sasuke. And so it was a matter that he had no chakra so he could finally take him over sort of thing. But, yeah.
But, I mean, that was an inopportune time to do that. If he had waited, let's say, 20 minutes, that would have worked out a lot better. It just, I mean, I would venture to say Orochimaru just not being liked by Kishimoto might be the best explanation.
Yeah. But anyway, that was just a thought which occurred to me while reading this chapter, because, I mean, I'm enjoying the fight, but I'm not really getting into it because it doesn't have the impact of any of the other ones, because it's Kabuto. What?
I guess the way he probably sees it is that Kabuto was Sasuke's rival with Orochimaru. That he was the other right hand.
But they didn't show that.
They didn't. But I guess he's trying to just, you know, use that association for drama. I don't know. I agree that Kabuto here in this fight, there's no emotional impact to it, but I can't think of anyone aside from Naruto that Sasuke still has that with.
Exactly, which is why it should have been Orochimaru instead.
Also, incidentally, now that I thought about it, the Karin thing being an Uzumaki, presumably Sasuke is going to end up with her. So you know the two clans are going to merge.
Yeah, I could totally see that now. And so now the way is open for the Sakura-Naruto pairing as well. Because that's going to, you know, resolve that conflict, if you will.
Not to get all shoujo about it, but I'd actually be kind of, not upset, but disappointed if he ends up with Sakura and not Hinata.
He'd better end up with Hinata.
She's not going to, though. You know it's going to be Sakura. Despite, like, that was the main thing that annoyed me about that Pain fight, was her confession.
Yeah, and then it just gets forgotten about.
Yeah. And they mentioned it at one point, but it's just something they don't feel like talking about ever again.
Well, she mentioned it recently when they were running towards the battle.
Yeah, she was talking.
Yeah, but she was talking to herself. So, you know, fat lot of good that does.
So Kishimoto hasn't forgotten it. He just doesn't care.
He just temporarily forgot about it at the only time when it would have made any sense to talk about it.
Yeah. I'm trying to think who would be an actual opponent that's alive that would work for Sasuke and Itachi. And I'm coming up pretty much blank.
Yeah, so it just bothers you that Kabuto's being used as a stand-in, basically.
Yeah, pretty much. It doesn't bother me. It's just that it seems like with just a tiny little tweak, it could be that much better. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's so close to being something with emotional and story impact, but
yeah, as we're closing out the series, they really should have done something big for these guys.
Yeah, and actually, thinking of somebody who could have. This is just completely out of the blue, and it's entirely possible I forgot about something. Did Kisame ever actually die?
He was hiding in the sword, wasn't he?
He was hiding in the sword, and then he escaped after the turtle thing and brought back the information about their location, and then I don't remember anything that's happened to him.
He definitely died, because I seem to remember Zombie Kisame.
I don't think I remember Zombie Kisame. I don't know. It's hard for me to remember.
Opening up a wiki. But anyway, that would be somebody for Itachi, at least, his former partner, you know.
Yeah, there's pretty much no one for Sasuke to fight. Which is strange. Like, the entire series is built up for him to have one major fight. And they're delaying it by having a bunch of fights that don't really matter that much. He is, like...
He didn't escape from the fight with Guy on the island. He just was able to get a shark with the information of their location to escape. So he was killed. Yeah.
Thought so.
Yeah.
And then it's like instantly resurrected a zombie or something.
Well, yeah, they resurrected everybody, so.
Presumably Kabuto would have needed his DNA and body, wouldn't he?
They played pretty fast and loose with that.
Yeah. That was only that one perfect resurrection thing, which was a different ability. And, you know, remember, Kabuto just miraculously has all of these better abilities than Orochimaru, so.
You know what would have been interesting to see, and it would have made no sense, but I would have been okay with it making no sense, with Itachi and Sasuke fighting fourth. Just because I'd be curious how they measure up.
I agree that would make no sense.
I mean, I think it would have been a better fight than inexplicably dragging Kabuto.
You just want to see Minato again.
I kind of do. He was a good character that they've never used for anything significant. Like, he was inexplicably inside Naruto for a while.
He was in there with the fox.
The whole chakra equals conversation thing should never, like, they use
You don't
that
want it to be that literal?
They've used it twice now. And it's never been that, or made that much sense, or worked on anyone besides Naruto.
Yeah. But anyway.
Yeah.
Still a good chapter. I just kind of, you know, while reading it, it was just kind of beating me over the head with, it shouldn't be this guy.
I will bet one $5 Steam game to each of you that Sasuke gets Dragon Sage mode.
I'm going to take that bet just because I don't want it to be true.
I'll take that bet, too.
All right. So
are we going to say a good $5 Steam game, or are you going to be giving like bad rats?
I don't know, of your choice.
Okay.
Worst case scenario, I end up two games here. Our best case scenario, I end up two games here. Worst case, I pay out $10. Either way, I'll be glad if it's not Sage Mode, Dragon, Sasuke.
Yes.
But yeah. All right.
You might have to wait a couple years before we can actually say definitively one way or another.
Yeah. By the time he fights Naruto, that's going to be the end limit of that.
Okay.
All right. So on that note, we're running a little long. But
gee, where have I heard that before?
I mean, at this point, we might as well just say it's like an hour, 15-minute podcast.
Yeah.
So in that case, we're running short, but either way, we're ending. So this has been your March 22nd, 2012 Thursday Jumpcast. And Greg, Mike, thank you for coming. Greg's going to be in New Zealand for 2 weeks.
Yep.
You're going down under-ish.
Yes, Kiwi as opposed to Oz.
Yes.
So
we're replacing you.
People will be.
We're replacing you with Robin Van Gilder, Mike's brother-in-arms in naming.
Yes.
So for 2 weeks, we'll have Robin and Mike on the show, and then Greg will come back, and we'll decide whether or not we want him back. It'll be left to public audition.
Obviously, we're going to have the voting to determine that.
All right, guys. Thank you for coming.
Oh, real quick, before we end, yeah. I want to say congratulations to Wes Gardner.
Oh, yeah.
His wife is currently dilated 5 centimeters.
They're inducing the baby.
Yep.
So Beardcast host.
Yes.
Within the next couple hours, he should be a daddy.
Congratulations, Wes.
And we will have your daughter as Greg's replacement at some point, too.
Yeah, just have her on here screaming.
It'd be replacing me well enough. All right, guys. That's it. We're wrapping up. We'll see you guys next week.
Bye.
Disappointed we had to redo the opening because I liked being able to crap on Nikkei Soy. Just terrible. So like currently, okay, it's like a mafia family and a yakuza family trying to get like hook their children up together.
So Romeo and Juliet.
But they're doing it for political. They're trying to get them together.
Oh, they're trying. They're not trying to keep them apart.
And the second in command and the mafia hired a hitman to kill the or. To do something to the main character. And then typical shonen thing of the hitman falls in the water and gets out and his shirt pops open and he has breasts and, oh, hey, it's a woman. And now she's in love with him too. And